and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Andrew Muller, and as we approach the change in season, it's time for the TV networks to start rolling out their big autumn series. To make sense of a few of them, I'm joined from our Toronto bureau by the critic for the Toronto's Globe and Mail, John Doyle. Ahead, we're going to be discussing ABC's Conviction and the latest from comedy writer Sharon Horgan. But before all that, we have Designated Survivor. This is highly anticipated political drama. It follows Kiefer Sutherland as a low-level cabinet member who suddenly becomes President of the United States. Let's hear a clip of it.
Capitol's been attacked. Congress. Cabinet. Eagle is gone. Sir, you are now the President of the United States.
This is the most devastating attack on our country since 9/11.
Anyone claim your responsibility?
Not yet.
Guy's never been elected to anything.
Did you know President Richmond fired him this morning? Now he's the president.
Maybe he'll realize he has no business running the country?
We're in a state of war. Tom Kirkman is not going to get us through this.
A clip there from Designated Survivor. John Doyle at the Globe and Mail. That sounds exactly like the kind of program I would enjoy if it was done well. But the trouble is, and I speak as somebody who's still trying to get over his West Wing thing most recently with the absolutely execrable Madam Secretary, they really annoy me if they're done badly, programs like this. Am I going to like this one?
I think you are, Andrew, yes.
Excellent.
There is a legend about Designated Survivor, which may be apocryphal, but certainly rings true, which is that the producers go into a meeting with ABC to pitch the show. The executive says, okay, what's the show? And the producer says, it's The West Wing meets 24, and Kiefer Sutherland plays the president. The response is sold.
Yeah, it is quite the one-line pitch, because at the heart of this, there is a real-life potential situation, isn't there? This is during the State of the Union, when the entire governing apparatus is all gathered under one vulnerable roof. They do spirit some low-level cabinet member to a remote location so he can take charge if something dreadful happens.
That is correct, yes, and that is exactly how the series opens. The character Kiefer Sutherland plays is very much a low-level member of government. In fact, he's probably lost his job on the day, and there is this massive terrorist attack, and he becomes president. He is reluctant at first. The weight of the office and the situation takes some time to dawn on him, but the family situation and the character development in the pilot is very nicely done. He is not actually Jack Bauer on the show. He is very much a politician, but he grasps the situation. And then there are, of course, subplots about the terrorist attack that took out most of the government and made him president. And that will be the sort of the two ongoing themes in the show. It will be him settling into the presidency in this extraordinary situation, and then the investigation into how and why this particular terrorist attack took place, and whether it is a one-off or it is the start of a campaign, a terrorist campaign. So that sets up very nicely the sort of the West Wing side of it and the 24 side of it.
As you say, though, he's not Jack Bauer, which does prompt the obvious question of whether Kiefer Sutherland's very, I guess, Kiefer Sutherland-ness is a help or a hindrance, because obviously you're familiar with that face in the context of a high-octane political drama. Does it become distracting? Do the lines get blurred? Might it have worked better if they'd cast somebody who wasn't Kiefer Sutherland, basically?
No, I don't think so. Kiefer Sutherland is a good actor. He is best known at this point for 24, but of course he has done other things too. He can play sensitive. He can play the family man and he can play the person who is frightened a bit by the situation into which he is thrust. The show, having only seen the pilot and parts of another episode, I think that the key will be to keep those two themes sort of simmering side by side in the show. And it certainly, at this early stage, it looks like that works. And Kiefer Sutherland is very good in the role. There's one interesting thing, though, sort of footnote to it. One of the characters in the show, a speechwriter with whom the new president has to meet very quickly in order to make a speech to the nation, is played by Cal Penn, an actor who, in fact, has been politically active for many years and, in fact, played a role in the Obama administration for a couple of years. He quit acting to go into politics. So he is actually someone who is authentically connected to the White House and to politics. And that lends a sort of frisson to it.
Okay, well, like the apocryphal ABC executives, I'm sold on that one as well. So we'll move on to a second offering from ABC. This is called Conviction. It's a legal drama starring Hayley Atwell as a young attorney and daughter of a former US president who has been blackmailed into heading New York's new Conviction Integrity Unit. It sounds a little bit complicated. Let's hear a clip of that.
The director of my citywide Conviction Integrity Unit is also our country's former first daughter. Ladies and gentlemen, Hayes Morrison. You get 5 days.
For each case?
You've got a team.
The people I pick.
Sorry, they're already hired.
I pick the cases.
Fine. So on this first one, give me a happy ending.
First, funny story. Last night, I was busted for cocaine possession. Wallace dropped the charges in exchange for me taking this job. Working these pointless cases with you people, that's my prison.
Conviction, another new offering from ABC. John, can we have too many glossy legal dramas?
Yes, I think we can. Andrew, this is an example of, a network show that is misguided, that falls into the terribly familiar template of legal and police procedurals. Far too quickly. It does have a gimmicky premise in that the character Hayley Atwell plays is the daughter of a former president. She's a lawyer, but she is very much the badass daughter and lawyer. She has had a history of drink and drug problems, and she is thrust into this role of overseeing this unit, which looks into cases where it is believed the innocent might have been convicted. The thing I noted about it is that Hayley Atwell is having a whale of a time, and she is a wonderful actor. She is familiar to some people from the Captain America movie and from the Agent Carter series that was done a couple of years ago. And she's a very fine actor. She is a substantial figure. She is very physical. She's funny. And when she has good lines in the pilot here, it's a terrific show. But very quickly, it becomes a very conventional procedural in which she and her team look into this one case where somebody was either wrongfully convicted or not. They examine the case, they reenact it, they do all of that. And that is obviously going to be the show from here on in. Each week there will be a case that is looked into and somebody is revealed to be wrongfully convicted or not. So there are so many shows like that. And halfway through Conviction, even though Hayley Atwell is great, the show falls into that kind of Law and Order / CSI kind of template. And that, I think, is one of the, it is a major problem with it. And it's one of the problems with network dramas in general, is that tendency to fall back on the familiar and being sort of afraid to push the audience into anything unconventional.
I mean, you don't need to be too bright either to sort of see which other zeitgeist they're tapping into. The recent mania for long-form documentaries about dubious convictions. Does it make explicit reference to any of those, or is it more comfortable in the role of being the straight up and down glossy legal procedural?
Certainly in the pilot, there is a hint that the kind of case that is being sort of looked into again, that is being, there was a new discovery on it, is rather like some high-profile cases that have, say, involved a high school football star who was accused of rape and murder. So there is a sort of familiarity with, there is a sort of vague connection with Torn from the Headlines. In the way these shows go, that will probably be part of the template, in that there is a sort of vague recognition factor. You are correct that network shows tend to follow the lead of what is happening in other genres. So the true crime in long form investigations done by Netflix and HBO with The Jinx, that is part of the format here. In the same way that with Designated Survivor, it is part of the tendency to be about the fear of terrorist attacks. In some ways, Designated Survivor is sort of rather like Quantico and Blind Spot, two network shows from last season, which were about terrorism and conspiracies. So with an ABC is sort of following what networks normally do, which tends to be the dividing line these days, of course, between network and cable.
We will move along finally, I guess, on a lighter note, though it doesn't sound like that's what we're doing, because the program's called Divorce. This is written by Sharon Horgan, who has been recently, and I think deservedly, much acclaimed for Catastrophe, which I guess considers similar themes. It stars Sarah Jessica Parker in the role of Frances, a woman struggling to divorce her husband, Robert. Here is a clip of it.
I want a divorce.
Are you drunk?
You had an emotional affair.
It was not an affair because it was never physical.
Wow. Right? This could be the greatest thing that has happened to us. Now we can go back to just liking each other again.
But when did it start to go off the tracks in your mind?
Well, perhaps when you grew the mustache?
A clip there from Divorce, the new offering from Sharon Horgan, and that's its two stars, Sarah Jessica Parker and the unmistakable speaking voice of Thomas Hayden Guest. We talked at the start about the difficulty, I think, of casting someone like Kiefer Sutherland in a vaguely familiar milieu and whether or not you can forget the character you're already used to. Is there something of a similar syndrome around casting Sarah Jessica Parker in a relationship-related comedy?
I suppose there is, but you're talking HBO here, so you're talking about, you know, television at a different level to network series. It is her return to regular television after more than a decade or so, but this is definitely not Sex and the City. This is Sarah Jessica Parker as a middle-aged woman, married with kids, most of whose friends are the same age group and background. She is very good in this role. There is very little connection between it and roles she has played before. It's a much more substantial role. And also, the kind of comedy this is, coming from Sharon Horgan, it's a wonderful show. It is truly acid humor. It is deeply cynical. There isn't a single appealing character, including the lead, in the first couple of episodes.
That's actually quite an accomplishment, especially from Thomas Hayden Church, whose name I think I got wrong at the first time of announcing there. He usually does come across as likable despite himself. Does he manage to transcend that in this?
I'm not sure he transcends that. I think there is a there are times when you see exactly why the Sarah Jessica Parker character wants to be rid of this man. But the key thing, I think, with the characters is that there is very little that's appealing about them. And what the audience is enjoying is the very black humor of it. You understand fairly quickly that these are self-involved, self-regarding, narcissistic characters, and they are going to war with each other, and the audience is simply sitting back and watching who among these awful people is actually going to come out of this with as a winner or as a loser.
The difficulty with writing awful characters, though, and there's always a temptation because they are good fun, but over a protracted period, although I may be projecting myself here somewhat, it does become hard to sustain interest. And I mean, I speak as somebody who gave up on Mad Men, despite the fact that it was clearly beautifully written and beautifully acted and looked wonderful, just because I hated everybody in it and was just tuning in every week, just basically hoping the building would catch fire. Does she manage to get around that? I mean, anybody who's seen Catastrophe or indeed anything else that Sharon Horgan has done will know that she writes wonderfully, wonderfully well. But is she going to have that problem?
I don't think so, to be honest. And one of the things to note, I think, is that Catastrophe, a wonderful show, and Sharon Horgan are not really on the radar in terms of the public and indeed much of the press in North America. Catastrophe is very much a niche show with a small intense following. I think it aired on originally was through Amazon, streaming on Amazon in the US. It will get a larger profile when I think it's going to be on the Lifetime channel next year when they do new series of it. But there is the sort of freshness of Sharon Horgan's humor, I think, will come across as something very different to HBO viewers who are not familiar with her or Catastrophe. Possibly, too, I think there is a portion of the female audience which will find Sarah Jessica Parker's character sympathetic in a way, in that she is selfish. She has tried to have both a marriage and other things going on the side, and she does waver between her commitments. At the same time, it's difficult to believe that that people will see her as a kind of heroine. I think the strength of the show is the humor. In the opening episode, there is a dinner party which goes awry, which is one of the best scenes I've seen on television in a very long time. It is very, very funny. And it's funny in the way that, you know, it is also a slap in the face.
Two out of three, then, from my guest, John Doyle of the Toronto Globe and Mail. And that brings us to the end of today's show. John, thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The producer was Holly Fisher. The researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us at the same time tomorrow when we will be talking books. But for now, it's thanks very much for listening and goodbye.